Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside Mary Margaret West.
Hey, that was like quite the, like, I felt like I was at a baseball stadium, like somebody's like, Mary Margaret West.
What would be your walkout song? So, you know, you like baseball.
Uh-huh.
You go to games.
Yeah, periodically.
Periodically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They all, when you play at home, they have the walkout song.
Yeah.
What would be, have you ever thought about what your walkout song would be?
I've never thought about it, but like, I mean, this is probably going to be lame, but like, it'd probably be like a Johnny Swim or Need to Breathe song. Like,
okay.
Just something good and like a little folky, but
gets
like,
everybody moving a little bit
of like a beat, driving beat to it, but
yeah.
Like a rap song would just not work for me.
Mine would be LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out.
There you go.
I figure like in a baseball game, if you're walking up to hit, like that's a solid. We're going to go ahead and introduce our guest today because I want to know what Josh thinks about this. So with us today on the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast, we have Josh Hunter. Give it up for Josh Hunter, everybody.
What up?
We'll pause Woo-hoo. While you clap in your car for that.
I'll clap.
Yeah,
right in my
there you
mind
go.
For this.
Josh serves on our team here at Lifeway as the Director of Student Life. So leads the Student Life team, talking to camp pastors and new locations and all that kind of stuff. So Josh is the tip of the spear, so to speak, for student life here in our building. So been on the team for a few years now, a lot of camp experience. But before we jump into all the leadership stuff,
yeah,
walkout song.
The Great Adventure by Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Yes. Yes.
Notice no hesitation.
you were ready.
You prepared.
Like that was it. This is
Saddle Up Your Horses.
What's the Michael W. Smith song?
We got a trail to
blaze. Oh, yeah. The
Whoa.
Michael W. Smith.
Usually John Paul.
Secret Ambition.
I know. Oh, yes.
Nobody knew the secret
ambition. Great. Great
song.
Yeah. I can sing all
you
those.
You can tell what era of student ministry you grew up in.
Homeschool.
By the that era.
That
the
too.
Homeschool era of student ministry.
We did not go to any see at the polls. We just went to our mailbox on those days.
Just gathered around.
That's what counted for us.
Raised the mail flag.
That was
did
it.
Did you really do it? Do you pray at the mailbox?
No.
Okay.
It's just a funny joke.
Good.
Man, I was going to say, that is
dedication.
Dedication to another degree.
Do you guys homeschool?
We don't.
Okay, you don't.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you should. You should go pray at the mailbox. It'd be funny.
We're public school kids.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So I mentioned Josh, what he does here, but Josh is married, has a dog.
Yep.
Nashville area.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit more about you. Kind of lead into, you know, where you grew up, how you got connected to Student Life Camp, and we kind of start right there.
Yeah, I would love it. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and at a church, Bellevue Baptist Church under Dr. Adrian Rogers. I was there for, man, a really long time. I think probably close to 20 years we were at Bellevue growing up. So really got to come under that era of Dr. Rogers and learned a whole lot. He leaves a huge legacy behind.
Do you ever hear his voice like
always
in your sleep?
It is the voice of God. Like it's how I imagine God's voice to sound.
Yeah,
we had this passion play that Bellevue used to put on.
Right.
And the scene where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, you know, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. It was Dr. Rogers' voice.
Really?
They record, yeah, seriously.
That's
and
so good.
I was like, great job.
Sounds about right.
That's a great call. Yeah, great casting, whoever that was. But grew up there, came to know the Lord when I was 13 at a summer camp, not Student Life Camp. It was our church just put on a camp at Chaco Springs in Talladega, Alabama. And we're all really familiar with Dega, you know, and probably Chaco Springs too. That being said, though, got to know the Lord there when I was 13. I loved summer camp. Kind of felt a call to ministry when I was younger, but didn't know quite how to make it happen.
Yeah.
An opportunity happened when I was 19 to work summer staff for Student Life Camp. And so I came on when the team, AT2AP, All Things to All People, drama team, when they were still a thing.
Yeah.
Came on as an actor then, worked a couple summers, met my wife on the same team. We started dating after the summer.
Which is always...
It's always a...
There
camp
are
love.
So many camp relationships that actually work out.
Well, don't... I hope no campers are listening. I hope none of our staff is listening to this right now that haven't worked yet. So yes, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
You're
I hope they don't
allowed,
get into it.
One of the rules that we have with our summer staff is that they're not... You're not allowed to date each other on your same team. It's a wise rule. It just causes a lot of drama when many times... It falls apart.
And yes.
Exclusive relationships. We want to focus on serving the church.
Yeah.
So you heard Josh made it clear they started dating after.
Post. post-summer. Mm-hmm.
After driveway to driveway.
Driveway to driveway. That's great. That's right. Great way to say it. Started dating after that. Got married in 2011. So we've been married close to 8 years. Have a dog named Chucky, named after Chucky of the Rugrats, not Chucky the scary doll.
Chucky the scary doll.
Just
that's right.
Just to clarify, he's our ginger ninja. That's what we call him. Okay. So he's a Vishla, if anybody knows what that breed is. But started ministry then, did a couple summers with Student Life. Wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with my life. Didn't have a clear calling. I was trying to finish school when we first got married. So I got my undergrad at University of Memphis. Thought I was called to go to seminary. Went to semester seminary. I was a student ministry intern for a couple years. So that's like my connection to serving in the student ministry in the local church, and learned so many lessons as an intern. Learned a lot of things the hard way, learned some things the easy way, but also mostly the hard way. And then always wanted to come back and work for Student Life full time. I'd always wanted to be an event director. Haley wanted to come on the road with me. She was a nurse then. We never saw a clear path. We didn't know how we would make it work.
Yeah.
And then one summer we just said, you know what? Forget it. We're going to go on the road as summer staff, not have any expectations afterwards, and just have a really great summer. Had no kids, no commitments really. Said, we're going to do it. And so we did it. And I interviewed with you that summer, Ben, multiple people that summer. And on the way home from our very last camp, I got a call from the then president, and he offered both of us a job. And it was awesome. And that's where it started, with Student Life full-time as an event director in 2014, fall of 2014. Yep. And so since then, just a really quick view, event director for a couple of years. I moved into a role called director of events, which was just leading our events team in Birmingham. And then Brad Barnett, an amazing leader. You just keep promoting him, Ben, because he's just amazing. So
he is.
He keeps getting promoted. And so I got promoted into the director role of Student Life last fall, and I'm sitting in that role now.
Yeah. So, man, I think one of the things that I want to focus in on for just a second, because I think it's something that student pastors wrestle with a lot. And you mentioned student ministry intern experience. And so not as a student pastor, but the issue of calling and discerning that call is something that I think people who are called struggle with from time to time. Mm-hmm. I think there are seasons we go through where we say, man, what am I really called to?
Yeah.
Like, what is, like, I know I'm doing this right now. And I talk to so many student pastors every year where it's like, man, I know I'm called to student ministry right now, but I feel something churning. I feel like there's something coming. Mm-hmm. And so I know that's a difficult issue for people to wrestle with calling. So what did you learn through that process of even going out on a limb of faith and saying, we're going to go do this summer with Student Life with no plan really at the back end because our calling and our desire to do this. So what did you learn through that wrestling with calling time and trying to figure out what that looks like? And maybe even since then, if you've wrestled with calling, like, what does that look like for you?
No, it's really good. I'll say what I know now that I didn't know then.
Yeah.
So then I just realized, at the church I was at, I want to be honoring of the church I was at too. It's an incredible church. They're doing a lot of great things there. And man, a lot of people are coming to know the Lord. But there is no pathway or really development happening at that church. So I kind of realized then.
Talking for like the staff.
What's next for me?
Yeah.
What's next for me as a student ministry intern? You know.
Gotcha.
Like, intern is great and everything, but you know.
What
like
happens
I
after
would
this?
Like to do something else.
Yeah.
Maybe something else in the future would be nice. And so I got to a place there where I was really frustrated the first probably year and a half, and definitely not in the greatest place emotionally, unthankful, wanted more. I desired so much more responsibility. And then the last 6 months of my time there, before I'd even made the decision to go back to camp, I just became probably the most thankful I've probably ever been in my life, to be honest, like even more so than I am now. I just remember having a spirit of gratitude and just saying, man, this is where the Lord has me. And then all of a sudden, all these doors started opening when I got to the place of having a spirit of gratitude.
Yeah.
And so what I thought was just, oh, God's just doing some things. But looking back now, I'm like, God entrusted me, starting to entrust me with more when I became completely thankful for what I had then. And so with what I have now, when I'm completely grateful for that, the Lord more than likely will end up putting more and more on my plate. Maybe not always, but more than likely will.
Yeah.
Even thinking about the different roles I've held within Student Life Camp, I'm thankful for this position. Well, Josh, we need you to come to this. I'm not ready to go to that yet. Well, we need you, man. Like, being called up to more and different things. As far as calling went, I knew that in my heart, even being an intern, I knew that I could always contribute more. And I think I've always felt what I didn't realize then that I realize now, I felt like I had a call of leadership on my life. If you look at my spiritual gifts, it's leadership, apostleship, and discernment. And so just being able to lead people and lead out on things, no matter what it is. Josh, lead out on getting the trash cans taken care of. Josh, lead out by preaching or presenting this topic or whatever it is. Yeah. I knew I had that calling of leadership. I didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so when I came on the road with Student Life and then came on full time, mentioned Brad, he really came and put some books in my hand and started really showing and revealing me and developing me and helping me realize, oh, this is what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
This makes sense now. So,
and so much of that too, I think we can't, the older that I get, and I just turned 35 this week, which now I feel like I'm only
29.
I'm like, woof, like it's this like, oh gosh, I don't think I'm a young adult anymore. I'm not sure who I am. That's irrelevant to this conversation. But like the older that I get, the more I look back on all these things that like these steps of obedience that God asked me to take and like leaving me sometimes in a place or in a job, at a church, whatever it is, longer than maybe I thought I was going to stay, or that he pulls me out before I thought it was time to go, that God used all of those things as preparation ground for whatever it is that he had next. And some of those things don't crop back up until years later. And it's like, oh Lord, now I have a better picture of why I experienced that, why like I was in that season, or just whatever it may be, that all of those things are pieces that God is using to build into us to grow into leadership. And I think, and Josh, you know, you and I have known each other since 2010, I believe, through Student Life.
Yep.
And
I always forget that you guys,
they were crossovers.
Served at Student Life together.
At the same time. We weren't on the same team, but like I knew who Josh was. I knew who Haley was. And
yeah. Well, and the thing about Mary Margaret that you have to know if listening to this podcast is that Mary Margaret has been involved in a lot of different intersecting organizations and churches with a lot of different people. Because you served at Student Leadership University, that we partner with now. You served at Student Life. We've talked on the podcast before. You've worked with like three of my friends that are youth pastors. So
it's true.
It's a weird.
Ministry circles are small, man.
They are. So I'm always meeting people that are like, oh, you know Mary Margaret.
Yeah.
I'm like, who doesn't?
Apparently. That's sort of my reputation for some reason. But I just like my ministry is people. Like I just feel called to build relationship and connect with people. And so we connected back in 2010. And I remember like even hearing, because we have a lot of mutual friends, like hearing some of them talk about you wrestling through some of that kind of stuff at the time. And
oh gosh, that was a bad summer for me.
And I sort of remember that was a bad hearing, that was a bad summer for you. But anyway, you know, a lot of growing
since then.
Thank God
for grace. Yes, that's right.
You know, but that God uses those pieces to build into us who it is that he is, who wants us to be, that's more like him, that teaches us to have a posture of humility and of gratitude and all those things. And so it's all those little things matter, even when you're feeling that tug and that pull to like, God, what's next or what's the next thing? It's like, be faithful right where you are until I open and close the doors and until I move.
Yeah. Well, I would drop the mic, but it's on a stand. So I'll just shake it.
We'll just shake it.
Make noise, yeah.
Man, I think, at least I find this for me, so I won't assume this on any of you that are listening or in the room. It's interesting to me that for myself, gratefulness is always one of the first things to go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like if I'm an honest gauge looking at the dashboards of my life, if I'm in a bad place and I go back and look at what the gauges say, the thankfulness, gratefulness one is always one of the first ones to start to go empty. So I think it's awesome that you raised that up as one of the things that roots a calling is just that, man, God has called me and set me apart and put me in this spot. And so like I'm going to be thankful for him, to him for that. And one of the other things that you mentioned, and I would say this, one of the areas of respect that I have for Josh is that he is a student of leadership. He's hungry for it and desires to grow in it all the time. But in your journey, you mentioned just a moment ago, you had leadership in you, but didn't really know what to do with it until Brad, probably some other mentors along the way, came in and said, Josh, here's a direction. Here are some things to do. And I thought that was, you said it really quickly, but I think that's a significant thing for us to grasp, because in our leadership, even still, after you've been a leader for a long time, you still need people to say, hey, look at this direction and let me be a guide for you. So talk about the role that guides slash mentors have played in your life. You mentioned Brad, in developing your leadership, and maybe some of the things that you're doing right now in relationship with other people that are guiding you in leadership.
No, it's, I love this topic because it really has been, in many ways, I look back on my journey, and not that I'm this really meddled up, accomplished person in leadership, but any success I do have is standing on the shoulders of somebody else. And it's all about mentors. And I think of Roger Bannister way back in the day. He set the sub 4 minute mile. He's the first person to do it. But the way he did that is he had two different pace setters for that race. The first pace setter ran the first 2 minutes, then was just exhausted and couldn't keep going. And then the second guy ran the last 2 minutes, but they set the pace for Roger Bannister. That's how he succeeded. Now, there's work ethic and things and competence that come into those keys, but he had people around him helping him achieve that goal. And so in my life and anybody's life, like my opinion or my advice would have somebody that can help you set the pace, have a pace setter in your life. That's the only way you're going to get to the goals, because it's not about arriving to the goal. It's not to be cliche, but it's just about the journey.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things, and I can talk about kind of who is that in my life right now or how do I go about that now, but one of the biggest things that different people, the pace setters that have really influenced me, so we talked about Brad being one of those, a couple different student pastors in high school, which is perfect for this podcast. Like, you might not feel like you're doing some having influence with your students. I promise you, if you are being intentional and honest with them, you are having influence with them. That was me.
I even like the language of pace setter for the students in your ministry.
Yeah.
That's the illustration. The language is good, because oftentimes we think about discipleship, we think about teaching, we think about relationships, but you're setting a pace in all of those things based on kind of what you're doing yourself and how you lead. It's good language for student pastors.
Yeah, it's easy to understand.
It's twisting the image just a little bit, viewing it in a slightly different angle, I think.
Yeah, that's good. The most successful thing for me when somebody was helping me set the pace was I feel good about my competencies. There's obviously things that I can work on and get better when it comes to skill sets and how I do something. And it's kind of like being a really good basketball player. Like, competency could be there, but if you're bad culture for the locker room, you're just going to be bad culture for your team. And so the pace setters that have helped me the most have not focused on my competency, but they've focused on my character, and they've helped me grow my character.
Yeah.
And so it's not, Josh, I mean, sometimes it is, you could slow down when you say that here, communicate this better. It's more like, Josh, why were you so angry when you had that conversation?
Yeah.
Why did you make that decision? Mm-hmm. What is your, man, the fruit of the spirit of patience was not in there with that. Yeah. Why not, man? That should be an issue for you. Is it not? Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it is an issue. And I realized as soon as I started focusing on my character versus my competencies, the competency piece came. That will come if you're a learner and you're working hard.
Yeah.
But the character piece, that's what really is at the heart of leadership. Being grateful for where you're at when you use the thankfulness. That's a character piece. That's not a competency issue. Going for the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, Luke 6:45.
Yeah. You know, and Josh, there are a lot of leaders who have a hard time, I think, in their leadership position, because they are seen as the leader or a leader, finding other people who will do that for them because other people look up to them as a leader. And so how would you encourage student pastors who maybe are looking around going, who could do that for me? You know, like, who could be this kind of leader? Like, how to develop that among where you are and to take those steps? Because, like, why is it so critical?
I think I understand your question. Are you talking about volunteers, student pastors, volunteers or students in student ministry?
No, really, like for a student pastor who's listening today, who maybe is like, they're a leader and like they're seen as a leader in their church, in their community. And I know even for myself, sometimes I've looked around and like have asked somebody to like, hey, will you, you know, hold me accountable to this? Or will you, you know, help me walk through this? And they're looking at, they're like, no, I'm looking to you for those things. Like, I don't need you to look to me. And like, I've heard other leaders mention similar things, and of just sort of like being on an island or not feeling like maybe they have the network of people around them to help them develop those characteristics and challenge them when need be.
Yep. Anytime I understand now. Anytime I feel like I've found myself in that place with my team here, or when I was an event director and leading a bunch of college students for summer staff, when I was like, man, there's nobody, like, who else is here? I was totally missing it because I had a team of 23 people here ready to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone can be a leader.
Yep.
You know? Man, I think that if we go back to the 2-minute pace setters that helped dude run the 4-minute mile,
mm-hmm.
they didn't have the accomplishment.
Correct.
They were if you look at it just by the numbers, they were not as good as he was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he couldn't have done it without them.
Yep.
And so as leading a team of people that are not as far along in leadership yet, man, there are always mm-hmm. those 2-minuters that you need to pour into yep. you to learn along the way, even if you're further along in your leadership mm-hmm. or like the people you were talking about are even more achieved leaders.
Yeah.
Those other people along the way can all pour into that. Mm-hmm. So I think
that's good.
I think those 2-minuters are huge.
We need those 2-minute leaders.
Yeah. That's
you
right.
guys matter for
There's
sure.
There's a book there.
Ben,
there you go.
There it is.
The next happened one, on the baby. Podcast.
Copyright. Don't take it.
The next one.
It's
yeah.
ours.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting too, because when you think about 2-minute leaders and then versus the 2-minute versus 4-minute leaders, right?
Yeah.
The Roger Bannisters. Roger Bannister is not the fastest person in the world. He's not. And leaders don't have to be the smartest person in the room
yep.
or on
yeah.
their team. They actually, if you're trying to be the smartest person on your team, doomed for failure. I'll tell you right now, I was homeschooled. I was not the smartest person on my team. I've mentioned it many times, and I'm allowed to because I was homeschooled. Sorry to poke fun.
That's right.
I was homeschooled my whole life, but I am not the smartest person on my team.
Yeah.
What I try to be is like as wise as I can on my team,
mm-hmm.
and how can I find the smartest people on my team?
Yeah.
We've talked about SL Worship and how it started with an idea kind of in my heart and another friend's heart. But then I handed it off because I realized I can only do so much with this thing. And the people that ran with it, they killed it.
Yeah.
Much more talented than me. But I had the intuition. The Lord gave me the intuition to say, that person I think can do a better job. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah. That's good.
And it worked out.
Yeah. For those of you that are wondering what SL Worship is, you can find it on Spotify. Brand new launch from Student Life this year that's going to be traveling around as well as releasing new music and stuff like that.
Yep.
So there's an EP available right now on Spotify.
It's available.
That wasn't the design of the just a shameless plug I'll throw in.
Thank
there.
You. Yeah.
For sure.
Just an example and turn into a plug. It's great.
talk about, because I know you're a reader as well, mm-hmm. and we've talked about reading on the podcast before and how important it is for the growth of a leader. I got a Instagram post the other day. A guy named Andrew that's a student pastor that has admittedly so in his post said, hey, I haven't been much of a reader. I haven't liked it, but I've realized that this is something that I've got to push myself in, and has started that journey. And I was like, man, that's awesome. Like there are so many people that I run into that are in the beginning stage of, I just don't like it. I'm a slow reader. I don't like to read. But it is, as we've talked about on the podcast many times before, a crucial part of growing in leadership. Talk about the role that plays in your life. And then maybe I know you've mentioned to me off podcast goal that you have for this year in reading. And then most significant read you're going through right now.
Yeah. Well, you're really holding me accountable if I have to mention that goal on it. I actually have to do it. No, my goal this year is a book a week. And so I've been trying to do that. I'm a little bit behind, but on pace to finish. Okay. But I think that like the really important word for a leader is learn. If Tarzan and in teaching and learning, you will teach, and in teaching you will learn. Like learn. I think it's really important. And I know a lot of people learn differently, and I know there's a lot of different ways to learn, but I don't see a way around reading. Like eventually you're going to need to read something as a leader to learn. It's just kind of the way things are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if you're a slow reader, read slowly.
That's
read
right.
as much as you can, but read slowly.
Yeah, so your
Audible
goal might
too.
Not be a book a week. Mine's not.
Mine's not either.
So,
shockingly, mine is.
to bring that up.
Do what you can do.
Yeah.
Do what you can do. Audible counts as reading. We've talked about that before, 100%.
Yeah.
But books that I've the importance of that, though, reading, just taking in information, you're probably not going to remember most of a book that you read, but you'll remember a couple nuggets and you can hold on to and run with that. Books that I've been reading that have really impacted me this year, Power of Moments, that's a really popular one right now. Necessary Endings, yeah. That was a really good one. And then Loki, one of my favorite ones, I actually went and read Bird Box instead of just watching the Netflix movie. And the book is really, really,
really?
Good. So that's a fun fictional read.
Did you watch the Netflix and then read, or
yes.
the other way around?
I never heard of Bird Box until Netflix, and so I watched it first and then went and read the book. And the book is very scary.
Really?
Yes.
Like scarier than the Netflix? Ooh.
Yes.
Wow.
It was great, though.
Coming from the man whose dog is named Chucky.
That's true. Rugrat, man.
I love it. So one of the things we did want to make sure and mention as a part of this podcast is another growth opportunity for you. That is another podcast that's launching in June, and it's a podcast that Josh is co-hosting, with a guy named Chandler. And the podcast is called Unseen Leadership. And so talk a little bit about that podcast and how it could benefit. So this podcast, we dip into leadership, depending on guests that we have come in, books that we're reading, things like that. But it's solely focused on, and even when we talk about leadership, we focus it towards the student pastor.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a podcast that's just going to help you develop your leadership kind of as an isolated category, this is a new one. So Unseen Leadership launches in January. Talk a little bit about the vision behind that and why it's something you're excited about.
Yep. No, really excited about it. Unseen Leadership, if you would picture in your head an iceberg, so you only see about 10% of an iceberg when you're looking at it. 90% of it exists under the water. We want to talk not about where people have or not where they arrived to or where they are now. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about the unseen stories that got them there. So if you're fans of How I Built This, which is interviews leaders of organizations on how the organization grew and the story of how that happened, very similar except with leadership. So we're launching in June. We have, I think we're launching with Levi Lesko, Jamie Ivey, a couple other names that I can't remember right now, but really excited to hear those people's stories. And man, I got to tell you, they're incredible. We've already done a lot of interviews. Ben, we interviewed you. You're in July. August, September.
I didn't get
August,
named
in
that
there.
First group that I
the
I
second,
noticed that.
The 2 minute. You're the 2 minute. This is the 2 minuter, man.
Not top tier.
No.
You are top
tier. You're the second leg of this race.
Tier for sure.
You are top tier for sure. Trust me.
I love it.
No, but man, just hearing their stories, and we thought it was a great way for anybody that's aspiring to leadership to hear what was their path and am I going on a similar path and what are some obstacles? Can I do some damage control here or direction control and what are some obstacles I can be made aware of and also just be encouraged by because I might be going through some of the same difficulties they are. So we hope it's helpful for you guys.
Yeah, that's good. I have one more question before we kind of wrap up. Biggest ministry, biggest leadership mistake?
I think for me, learning how to be empathetic to my team. I think empathy is an underrated skill set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having soft skills versus, it's the character versus competency, but soft skills with your team, not to be, I'm a domineering person naturally, not to be domineering with my people, but to care for them, to realize that they are not a means to an end, but they are the end. I would say I failed in that area many times in the beginning. And I think they would say now I'm doing a little bit of better of a job, but you can ask them and see what they say.
I think that's great insight because in a student ministry setting, I think if we aren't careful, our volunteer leaders, and honestly, even the students themselves can be seen or treated as a means to an end.
Yeah.
Like I need these students here because I need them to bring their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I need them to bring their friends because I need this to grow and I need to be seen as a great student pastor.
Yeah.
Or I need these volunteers because I need them to do this or fill these seats rather than empathy, ministering to them along the way. And we can unintentionally blur those lines if we're not careful.
Yeah, and there's a lot of collateral damage as a result of having that attitude. And so, and I think a lot of us can relate, like I can relate to that even as a female, because I think a lot of people would look at me and go, oh, well, you must be super empathetic. And like it is, I have to dig really deep to be empathetic a lot of days and to And that's just the honest answer.
Mary Margaret laughs at people when they share their sadness.
I do. We've talked about yeah. telling my secrets. Yeah. Yes. We talked about this, about personalities one day. And, I genuinely, I have to, rein it all in and, get my face looking sad because, sometimes I want to laugh at other people's pain. Not because I want to laugh, but because I don't know what to do. And
I'm in the same boat. When my kids have done something really wrong and mm-hmm. it's a discipline mm-hmm. moment.
Yeah.
I have to massage my face, get the smile away. Really bad about it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm I just
get mad.
I just get a smile, laugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to dig deep.
It's whoever it is, if you're treating anybody as a means to an end, it might last for a little bit. They're going to sniff it out and you won't have influence with them. And so when they feel like you care about them deeply and they are the end all be all, you'll have influence that.
Yes.
Last forever.
Yeah. And that's where, too, coming back to something you said earlier, Ben, ministry circles are small. And and people are people and they know other people. And so just be mindful of those things because it could have that kind of damage, if you're not careful, could all affect later job opportunities,
yeah.
relationships, right. Different things that something you've done it and we all have those things, in our past that could be damaging. But just be aware and be apologetic. Don't ever be afraid to own up to what it is you've done or a mistake you made, because those things go a long way and people remember stuff that happens. And so being aware, self-aware enough to know that your ministry circle that you're in right now is not the only one you'll ever be in, most likely. Yep. So,
and they overlap.
Yes, they do.
Exactly. Any last words?
No, I was going to ask you what your favorite Memphis barbecue is, but if that's inappropriate
Ooh,
for the close of the podcast.
No, that's a perfect close.
Okay.
Because I've heard several.
Yeah.
And you're a homeboy to Memphis. So
mm-hmm.
Homeboy. What is
Grit
your...
and Grind. Memphis Grizzlies got the number 2 pick in the draft.
There you go.
Next year. I'm really pumped. Memphis Tigers basketball. Getting the number 1 team in college next year.
We're really?
Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway.
Oh, yeah.
He's done some major recruiting there.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Central Barbecue, and they're putting one in
right next door.
Praise the Lord.
That's my favorite. So
yeah.
It's really, really good.
That's good stuff.
I like it. This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Be sure to check out SL Worship on Spotify and Unseen Leadership as it launches in June.